written on the board, keep that which is committed. Have a little exhortation with the congregation this morning. The Lord had put on my heart, the Lord is faithful to keep the things that we commit to Him. And the Lord is interested in us also keeping the things that He has committed into our charge and our care. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 20. He said, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. In other words, Paul was encouraging Timothy to guard the holy trust of the gospel. And that is the challenge that I believe the Spirit of the Lord would have us rise to this morning. And that is to keep the things that God has entrusted us with. The knowledge of truth that God has given to you, guard it jealously. And don't trade it in. One scripture says, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy it, take care of it, because it has been entrusted to us. And I think sometimes that we fail to remember that we have been entrusted with the gospel. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, Paul was speaking, he said, for though I preach the gospel, I've nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Do you know that this is our dispensation this morning? It might be easy to think that, well, I wish I would have been born in a different time period. You know, maybe there's different areas you study history and you say, well, I wish I could have been in this time period. Do you know, just a little news flash. In all of those time periods that may look romantic to you and that you wish you could have lived in those times, people were people. Same problems, same type of issues, and I know that there have been different things happen in history, but this is the time that God wanted you to be born. And this is your dispensation of the gospel. And the question this morning is, if we are not faithful to the gospel that has been entrusted to us, what's going to happen to the next generation? If we are not diligent in recognizing that the gospel has been given to you, every parent, and I will just say that the Lord's been putting a real burden on my heart for the young families. And maybe in the future we may bring some messages that are geared to those that have young children and raising their children. But we have all been entrusted with truth. And what are we going to do with the truth that we have? Because the world is doing all that it can in politically and morally to try to steal the essence of the gospel, to try to minimize its import, to try to cause us to maybe compromise a little bit or stop preaching the whole gospel. But Paul was saying, woe unto me if I don't preach the whole gospel of Christ. Do you know that we're going to get in trouble in our homes and in the congregation, in the body of Christ, if we draw back from teaching and holding the whole gospel? We're going to get in trouble. There is a little illustration I read one time that said, it's kind of like a man that, you know what happened to the man that during the Civil War, he wasn't quite sure which side he wanted to fight on, but he was going to fight. So he wore the coat of the North and the pants of the South. You know what happened? He got shot by both sides. Do you know that's what happens when we don't take a firm stand for the gospel?
If we don't keep that which is committed to us, and we try to have some of both worlds, I want some of the world and I want some of those things, but I want to hold on to some of the truth, folks, we're going to get in problems on both sides. And that's why it's important for us to make a stand for truth, but then keep that which is committed. I am thankful that in my past there have been those that have been faithful to keep that which was committed in their charge. I am thankful to have been raised in a home where my father and mother kept the trust. They kept the trust. And as a young person, as a child, there might have been things, there were things I didn't understand. And there were things that maybe it's like, why are mom and dad, holding the line so hard on this? Or why aren't they maybe giving a little bit here? But today I can say thank God that someone kept the trust. Thank the Lord that someone did not compromise to make their children happy. And we may deal with this more later, but I want to say to every parent here this morning, your job is not to just first be a friend and make your children happy to let them do what they want. Our first responsibility as parents is to keep the charge of the gospel. It means that in the home, the standards that we hold, the things we do, the places we go, the things that we teach, that we are maintaining the gospel and the truth. And sometimes our children might not like it. And sometimes our young people are not going to understand. But do you know that if we will stay faithful, don't do it with dogma. Don't do it with, I'm the boss, that's why we're doing it. Explain. But at the end of the day, when they don't understand, there's a reason children don't have certain rights. There's this political issue. How old should people be before they can buy a gun? How old should people be before they can vote? Heard that one talked about recently. And some that are wanting to garner votes for them saying, well, maybe 16 would be a good age. Y'all heard that one lately? If you're not old enough to own a gun, why should you be old enough to vote? If you're not old enough to drink alcohol, why should you? See, there's levels of responsibility even that the world puts on it. There are going to be things that our children and young people do not understand about what the Bible teaches. But as parents, our call and our responsibility is to keep that which is committed unto us. Because if we don't, who is going to teach the next generation what truth really is? Who's going to not only teach it with their mouth, but set the example that they can know? Like Brother Randy said, he said in Sunday school, I knew my dad. You see, the Lord used his dad to minister truth, didn't he? It wasn't God's will that you just limit yourself to a couple cigarettes a day. But it was maybe if I'm doing it in moderation, but dad won't have confidence in me. Why won't? Maybe then later on, the Lord revealed more truth. It's not just about dad anymore. But see, that took some time. So our responsibility as parents and grandparents, it applies to all of us, that we set an example that others looking on will be instilled with truth, that they can have a head knowledge even if they don't choose to follow it. Keep that which is committed into thy trust. Be a standard to our children to which they can return if they deviate from the truth. This is why family worship is so important. Because it's important and vital that we take time in our home to teach our children. Not just like Sister Rhonda saying, well, we just do things, we don't know why we do them. You're talking about someone that told you that. Family worship is a good time to first of all explain what the Bible does teach, but the reasons behind why we do what we do. That it's more than just a tradition. It's more than what someone did 100 years ago. Frankly, I don't buy that. I'm not interested in living like they did 100 years ago because this is my dispensation. You understand? But I also want to take heed and learn how God has dealt with those in the past. And I want to see where the blessings of God were. But ultimately, I want it to bring into focus for me what the truth of the Word of God is. So, they didn't do it back then just because they lived in that time period. They did that because thus saith the word of the Lord. You understand that this should be our lens of what we teach is God's Word. That's why family worship is so important. There's a great responsibility that we have to teach our children the whys, that they might understand. And you know that when our children reach a certain age and they get out of the home and are on their own, we cannot guarantee their salvation. But do you know that if we will teach our children, we can guarantee that there will be something in their heart and mind that they will never be able to escape, that in the day of visitation of the Holy Spirit, they will know what to go back to. Because I was taught it and I saw it in mom and dad. 1 Thessalonians 2, chapter 4 says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth the heart." You know, this morning our ultimate goal should not be to speak those things that please men, but those things that please God. Sometimes your children won't want to hear it. Sometimes people in the congregation might not want to hear it. Sometimes your loved ones might not want to hear it. But folks, our goal should be that, Lord, I want to speak and live the things that please God. That please God. Who's going to do it if you don't? Is that a fair question? Who's going to do it? And I remember someone coming to me many, many years ago, and they expressed appreciation for a message I preached, and they said, "We are trying to teach our children these things at home." And they said, "I really appreciate it when they can come to service and they can hear it across the pulpit, and they know it's not just mom and dad." Do you know, when I got a little older and started having children of my own, it was such a blessing to hear it across the pulpit too. It's like, "Lord, thank you. It's not just mom and dad, and I want my children to know it's not just because I'm a preacher. This is what the Word of God says, and this is what we ought to be doing." We all have responsibility. And I want to encourage us and challenge us. Examine the things that we're teaching. Examine the reason why we're quiet on certain issues. Is it because I don't want to offend? That means we're doing it to please men. Because folks, if we don't hold truth and we stop teaching truth in our homes is where it starts. And then it comes into the congregation and then out from there. But if we stop teaching the fullness of truth, what is going to happen in a very short amount of time? It grieves me when I hear people say, "Well, I never hear that anymore." And I'm thinking, Lord, have we failed? Have we failed? Because it seems like a lot of people don't want to hear it, and you preach it, you know someone's not going to like you. But who are we trying to please? So Lord, help us as a people to keep that which has been committed to us. And folks, even if people walk away, and they will sometimes, and it grieves our heart, and I don't want to see people walk away because they got offended at what was preached, or they got offended at what mom and dad said when I was stopped by the house, or I got offended at what they told me. But folks, if we fail to teach and hold truth, what do people have to come back to? Who is there that they can say, you know, they kept the truth? I can say that for them. Maybe I don't like it, but I know they've been diligent and they kept the right spirit in it. See, the spirit has a lot to do with it too, but it doesn't have all to do with it. You can preach something with the right spirit, but if it's something someone doesn't like, there might be someone that took offense to it. And I know that because they did that with Christ. And they walk no more with Him. And then when it's my family that's walking away, this starts feeling personal now. This is my family, and they said such and such. But then you have to stop and say, but was it right? Was it true? Yes, it was. Then Lord, in the day of visitation, you can bring back, and thank God there's someone that's keeping that which has been committed. I trust we get hold of the message this morning. This is why Paul talked about, and we won't read it, but Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He told him to preach the Word. Folks, that ought to be the foundation to every Sunday school teacher, to every mom and dad, to every minister, to all of us. Our commission is to preach the Word. That means that whether I preach it here or preach it in Asia or preach it in Africa or Mexico, it doesn't matter. It is the same Word of God. When we begin to preach opinion and idea, there will be someone that just won't buy it. That's why he said preach the Word. Because if it's good here, it's good for somewhere else. Preach the Word. And then he went on to say there will come a time that people will not endure what? Sound doctrine. They're not going to endure. In other words, they're not going to put up with it. They're not gonna abide by it. They don't want it. And it said they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. In other words, if you don't want to accept truth this morning, do you know you can go find a ministry or a church or maybe an individual that will agree with the way you want to live your life? You say, well, I don't like the way the saints have taught this, and I don't like what they're doing. You can find someone else that will agree with you. And so you can start your own little group. Hence, that's why there's so many churches in the world today. So we have to get beyond our common history this morning. We have to get beyond that, and we have to let it be founded on the Word of God that, Lord, whatever you want, this is what I want to accept by your help. And we are living in a time where people are, they're heaping themselves teachers having itching ears. I want to hear what I want to hear. I want to be made feel good. I want someone to tell me that there is wealth and prosperity and health if I will follow the Lord. I want someone to tell me every Sunday that on your job, the promotion is yours. God wants to bless you, and you will preach this message that God will just give you all of these good things without addressing the sin that God wants me to forsake. Some of the largest churches in the United States, the ministers will not come out against black and white sin because they say, well, God deals with people differently and that's just not my job. That's not the ministry God has given me. So they won't call out adultery. They won't call out homosexuality. They won't call out lying and cheating and stealing because we're going to leave those and my job is to make you feel good about yourself in the Lord. Is there something wrong with that picture? See, that's an extreme, and we can sit here and say, yeah, that's wrong. But do you know that if we're not careful, we can start scaling back on some of the truth because we don't want our children and young people to walk away when they say, well, this is too hard, this is too tight. And so then we start scaling back a little bit, and the question is, what happens in one generation? What happens? Then it gets to the place that compromise starts setting in. And do you know it doesn't take very long when we fail to keep that which is committed, it doesn't take very long for there to be radical changes. And we could sit back and say, let's imagine what happens. But do you know, at least for the adults here this morning, you don't have to imagine. I can tell you all can, many, many examples of individuals and families and congregations that did not keep that which was committed to them. And when they begin to fail to teach the full truth, it was amazing to me, and it shouldn't be, I guess, but it still kind of is, how quickly they fall away from very clear biblical truth. So here's a warning to us this morning. There may be some things that you may think aren't that important. So, you know, it's really not that important. But if it is truth, if you fail or you begin to let down on some of those, just those little things that don't seem to be real important, time has proven that it can bring about major changes in your life. And I look at ministers that used to minister among us, that they got one or two little things that they kind of said, well, this doesn't matter. And I've watched what happened. And you know, it didn't take very long before holiness was just a concept. It meant nothing. Do whatever you want, go where you want, dress like you want, act like you want. And I thought it started because you started backing off just a little bit, and then the devil takes advantage of that. So folks, let's keep that which is committed into our trust. Salvation is a divine work of God. I want to keep that. You young people, Lord, I don't want you to ever begin to think that we are saved by our works, though. We are saved by God's grace. It's not the way you dress or because you don't go here and you do this. Those things did not save you, and they cannot keep you saved. We are saved by a divine work of God that, I'll tell you, if we begin to lose that trust, that's when we begin to get to be a self-righteous people. And they still look good on the outside, but they're self-righteous because they didn't keep the concept and the truth that, you know what, I'm saved by the grace of God. I also don't want us to lose the truth and the reality of the fact that once we are saved, it will bring forth good fruit. So if I say, well, it's just in my heart, nothing else matters. Well, the scripture says once you have been saved by grace, you are created unto good works. So then by your fruit, we'll know you. I can't see your heart, but if you've been saved by the grace of God, then the outflow should be that fruit of holiness. I don't want us to lose that either. Do you see where people have gone away on both extremes of that thing? Lord, help us to keep that which has been committed. Holy living, valued. You know, if we cease to value these things, we'll lose it. That's what happened with Samson, wasn't it? Samson had a gift of God. He was strong. But Samson flirted with Delilah until he ended up giving her the secret of his strength. And it was because he wasn't valuing it like he should have. If he would have valued it, he wouldn't have even played around with messing with giving the secret of his strength. He would have drawn a line and said, I'm not talking about it. Because I value my strength. I value what God has given to me. Folks, we need to value the truth this morning. There are so many people that do not have the blessings that we have been blessed with this morning. And Lord, help us to value. I know sometimes, especially when you're young, this is what you've always known. But you start getting out of your little cocoon, you will start realizing there's a lot of people that don't know what truth is. And you start recognizing how valuable of a heritage you have, the knowledge that has been given, the examples of people around you. So Lord, help us to be faithful to keep that which has been committed into this trust. Solomon is another very good example of someone that was wise. He had great wisdom, but he failed to keep that which was committed to him. You see, he made an inconsequential compromise, didn't he? For political reasons, it's expedient. Now, folks, listen to this really good. Solomon married women of other nations that did not serve God out of what he termed expediency. Because if I marry them, I'll make a political league, then we won't have to fight, see? Marry one of the king's daughters. You know, we'll make an alliance there, and it can bring peace to Israel. So it seems like that, yeah, maybe there's just a little compromise there, because God did say don't marry women of other nations, because they were idolaters. That's the reason. It wasn't because of race. It wasn't because of color. Young people get that. It wasn't because of race or color. It was because they were idol worshipers. That's why God said don't do it. But he made what he would term was an inconsequential compromise for the greater good. Because we want peace in Israel. See, so I'll make these alliances. But what happened out of an inconsequential compromise? Nothing overnight. But in his old age, his heart was turned away from God because of his wives. The influence that his wives had on him caused him to depart from God because he began to build their temples for idol worship. You don't think that has an effect? But it didn't happen overnight. This is why we need to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Things that you may think are inconsequential, they're going to have long-term effects. And I would question, I would like to pose a question to you young people. If there are things sometimes that you think maybe you would like to do that maybe in the congregation and mom and dad, you know, generally not done that and they say it's not good, but you think it's fine. What do you think will happen if y'all just came to service and your mom and dad, we all said, you know what? These things don't matter anymore. Go out and listen to whatever music you want. Go ahead and watch all your movies. Go ahead and dress however you want. Doesn't matter. Just go do those things, but just keep your heart right with God, and because it's the inside that matters most. Because it is the inside that matters most, right? But what do you think the result would be in 10 years? 10 years? 1 year? 6 months? And you may say, Brother Michael, I've seen it happen. And your parents have too, young people. People that say, these things don't matter. Radical changes in their life within just a short amount of time. You know what it means? We need to keep that which has been committed into our charge and realize there is a reason. And if you don't know the reason, ask. Don't do it disrespectfully. Young people and children, if you don't understand what you've been taught, don't go disrespect mom and dad and think you're going to argue with them. But if you have a question sincerely saying, you know what, I don't understand this. Can you help me? Can you talk to me about it? And at the end of the conversation, you still don't understand, understand this, that as you grow in the Lord, He will give you greater understanding until if you will keep that which has been committed, there will be a day you will be teaching your children the same thing. And your children say, I don't understand that. Why do we have to do that? Why can't we go there? That doesn't make any sense. You're going to understand what changed because you got some life experience and begin to see how small things affect the way we think and view things. I trust we'll get hold of the mess, little exhortation this morning. I would like, before I sit down, Scripture in 2 Peter talks about, in the 3rd chapter, knowing that all these things are going to be dissolved. He said, what manner of persons ought you to be? You know, knowing that this is all going to come to an end, what manner of persons ought you to be in all manner of holy conversation? And then later on down in that passage, he said in verse 16, as also in all his epistles. Now, Peter was talking about Paul. Okay? Now, there may be some preachers or speakers or people you think that's a little hard to understand. I don't quite get it. Well, Peter was kind of saying that about Paul's writings. He said, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in other words, we're on the same page, he's speaking these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Have you ever seen someone wrest the scripture to their own destruction? They'll take a scripture and say, see here, it says this and there's not. Rightly divide the word of truth. We need to be very careful how we use the word of God, folks. We need to be very careful how we use the word of God, because there are some things that are hard to be understood. But there are some things in context, Paul's writing to the Gentiles, getting away from a Jewish mentality, it caused issues with some of the Jews that they could very easily throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. They could very easily just say, well, these things don't matter, we'll just let it all go because the law is not important anymore. And that's not what Paul was saying. So we have to take things in context, but so many times people can take the Scripture and wrest it to their own destruction. So I want to encourage you this morning, keep that which is committed. Hold fast. And if you have seen the Lord bless someone's life, if you've seen God bless the people of God, and you think that you have this new revelation of understanding that there are things that the saints have done that you don't need to do anymore, I'm not saying the saints are a perfect people. We have a perfect God, and there is perfect truth in His Word. But we're people. We're people, and there are changes that have taken place. There's been some ebb and flow of some things through the years. We freely acknowledge that. But as generally speaking, if you think that you just have a lot more understanding what everybody else has had, I'll just share with you, I haven't really seen that turn out real well for anybody because I've watched the consequences. There are congregations that are gone today. Just a few years ago that they were worshiping just like we are today. They're gone. In some, you walked in, you'd think it was, well, you wouldn't know you were in a place that used to be called Church of God. How did that happen? Because someone failed to keep that which was committed. I'm not interested this morning in perpetuating a tradition. I'm not interested in just trying to keep something alive that sometimes appears that it is dying. But I am interested in still teaching and living the living truth. And the living Word of God that will bring life to our souls, even if there's just a few of us. Even if there's just a few, we can still be alive in the Lord. But I still want to be part of that city that's set on a hill. And it's only going to come in 2 Timothy 1:14. He said, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth within us. So I'd like to challenge the congregation. Let's pray the Lord would help us to keep those things that God's committed to us. And let's be more interested in pleasing God than pleasing man. Let's understand that there are going to be sometimes locally, sometimes at camp meeting, sometimes at Monarch, that someone's going to preach something that you cringe over because you have loved ones there. But what are our loved ones going to come to if we stop teaching truth? Mom and Dad let down. Mom and Dad, you know, they kind of let things go. I've seen a lot of parents, their children got older and left the truth and it started influencing mom and dad. I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want it to happen to you. I don't want it to happen to the congregation or the body of Christ, our fellowship. I don't want to see that happen. So it means we're going to have to be willing to endure sometimes men not being happy with us, but maintain a spirit of love. Keep that which has been committed. And folks, if we do that, the Lord will bless. And He's going to work in all these other situations. The Lord's not throwing any of our loved ones out. But He's going to be there working. But let's be steadfast. And again, to the parents, I'm repeating myself now. To the parents, I want to challenge you in your homes. You've been committed with a trust. All of you that have children, especially those of you that have young children, told someone last week, I said, your children are not too young to start. And they were little. And I said, you need to start now. You need to start teaching them things now. So they can grow up and say, well, I've always known this. Well, how does a child always know something? It's when you start teaching it to them when they're little. They just grow up hearing it. So it becomes so ingrained in them. It came by someone keeping the trust.